We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Only under the circumstances, I would say, did he have a hell of a game, Tristan Jarry. You know, if you're not 100%.
He definitely was playing hurt, coming in dead cold after how long off? I mean, with, against a team that does have an obvious.
What, 5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, over a month off, you're still not, you're rushing back to try to play because it's a full catastrophe now with Dominion net. I have no, like, I guess you said you qualified it right there. I have no issue with his game last night. Because I think at one point when that game was 1-1 briefly or even 2-1 Penguins for the briefest of moments, I think if Domingue's in there, the Rangers would have had five goals by then. I'm serious about that. Same game playing out with Domingue and Ned. I think it's a rout. I don't even think it's close.
Well, the Penguins dominated the Rangers in shots, so.
But the Rangers had some very good opportunities quality-wise. And my last mental vision of Domingue was a puck hitting him in the chest and going over his head.
Did Domingue have a game where his save percentage was worse than what Jarry's was last night? So you would have asked Domingue to have the worst game of the playoffs because Jarry was at 867 save percentage. And I know Domingue's for the entire playoffs was better than what Jarry did last night. So
I'm gonna find out for you, Chaluch. But I feel like you might already know the answer. 875, 879 were his two lowest.
So by save percentage, last night was the Penguins' worst performance by a goaltender.
Yeah, but I think he was clearly better than Domingue had been for at least the last two games.
Well, there's no goal that is going to aesthetically look worse than what Domingue did at the end of Game 6. The only thing that comes close to it and actually does overtake it is the play Jarry made against the Islanders where he passed the puck to them, and then
I go by the
had
eye
diarrhea
test.
By the time he retreated back to his net.
I just go by the eye test here, man. I thought he was obviously better than what Domingue had
but
shown.
But I still think the Penguins are screwed in net. It's another season where you're left wondering if Tristan Jarry can ever be a big game goalie. DeSmith can't stay healthy and is a free agent, so you can't re-sign him and just keep your fingers crossed that he achieves better health. And even if he does, what kind of player is he in the postseason? And we know Domingue is an American League goalie. So you're going to have almost $30 million in cap space. That's new to the Penguins. Marc-Andre Fleury's a free agent, Chris, so let's do that. I mean, what do you think of that idea? You know, there's all kinds of talk. He made $7 million, but we've heard Penguins insiders. Rob Rossi's going to join us in 15 minutes. He always talks about a strong desire out of Fleury to finish his career back in Pittsburgh. He's almost 40. Of all the people we talk about with Penguins ties, Malkin, Letang, I almost feel like Fleury, I do feel like Fleury would be the one who would be most inclined to take a Pittsburgh discount. So what do you think of that two-headed monster, Jarry and Fleury? Can I get you on board with that?
Because it's not Fleury as what your obvious starter, it's a high level backup, right?
So let's say it's $3.5 million for Jarry, and let's say it's $3 or $3.5 million for Fleury.
Is it a legitimate job share? Like, and you just see which one's playing better? Don't you have to have a hierarchy here? I would have to say Jarry, you're the guy unless you falter. Has to be Fleury functioning closer to what like Vokoun was
okay.
For him.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Like 50, 30, or 45?
I like it in principle. See, this is one of those things that if you just said it, you say it out loud here into the ether, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm not like I don't fetishize the idea of Fleury coming back to town the way some people do. Here's the problem. You actually get Fleury into town, right?
Oh, wouldn't that be joyous?
The old 29 sweater goes back on. You know that even though you're trying to say here in a dispassionate way, oh no, Jarry, it's still Jarry's job. Fleury's more high-level insurance policy.
At the start, in October.
Fans are going to be foaming at the mouth by Thanksgiving if Jarry has one bad game for Fleury to be the full-time starter.
Okay, well, that's good.
And to also be all of their personal best
friend. I think competition can bring out the best in people.
They've got a lot of holes that they are going to have to patch on the good
shit Penguins.
Exactly,
so if they can get
Why would I patch the goaltending hole first?
Well, because the goaltending hole is a big reason why they haven't won
a
playoff series.
They don't feel that
way. I'm asking you.
I didn't think Jari was the reason they lost last night, and I'm not going to hold last year's faltering against him relative to what happened last night.
Okay, so
I'm not going to say that that's continuation.
So then you go backup goalie on the cheap here?
I think paying big money for goalies is usually a bad idea.
Well, tell that to the Tampa Bay Lightning,
and then who else? I guess
and tell that to Carey Price and the Canadiens who knocked off the Penguins
Vasilevsky
and then went
to
a cup final.
Vasilevsky is the exception that proves the rule. And don't even bring that crap Canadiens team from that ridiculous bubble.
How about Fleury when he took Vegas all the way to a cup final? He was making a lot of dough.
Best season of his career by far.
Well, I'm just saying they were paying a goalie a lot of money and it got them to a cup final.
Is that an outlier season, though, for Fleury?
Well, we're naming a Chris, I'm saying bringing him back as a backup. I'm not asking him to be 2018 Marc-Andre Fleury all over again.
I think people fall in love with the idea. Like, here, the ultimate one for me of why you don't pay a goalie huge money is Henrik Lundqvist. He was the centerpiece of a team that never got it done, and they paid him crazy money. I want to say, off the top of my head, Quick was never making insane bank when the Kings won.
Okay.
You know, Quick was a guy who was behind a very physical, defense-oriented system.
Yeah, but Chris,
if
you're paying Jari, like I said, a little bit more than $3 million, and you're paying Fleury about the same amount of money, and it's a combined total of $7 million, that's not spending lavishly on goaltending.
I understand, but then you have to have your role definition be carved out nicely.
Why is that?
Because
every position, it's a meritocracy. The more you do, the more you play.
If you think Jari is the man, you've got to give him every opportunity to make sure he is the man.
Well, if he can't handle...
In case of emergency, break glass and there's a smiling Marc-Andre Fleury to put you to bed at night.
I feel better about breaking glass and there's Marc-Andre than King Deming.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second, though. Not even 2 weeks ago, you were leading the King Deming charge, the Deming dynasty.
Well, things change. That's the beauty of sports.
And sports talk. When things change, so do my
opinions. Donnie, what do you think? You want status quo with Jari and DeSmith back? You ready to do that all over again, buddy?
No.
Exactly.
I'm not completely out on Jari, but I would not be surprised at all if we get a Marc-Andre Fleury reunion.
And how would that sit with Hockey?
Do you have Donnie football moles telling you that this is?
No. That's pretty much just my gut feeling.
And how would you feel about that?
Oddly enough, better now than I would have a few years ago. Like after, you know, he had started to move around a little bit after Vegas.
See, maybe this is because I'm such a disagreeable lout, but like the fact that everyone so desperately wants this makes me think they're overvaluing what Fleury would actually bring, even at the right price.
Clinton's on the fan. He wants to talk about the Penguins netminding. Hello.
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, you know what, gentlemen? I wanted to talk about exactly what you're talking about right now. And you know what? One of the things that I said this year is that the Penguins' success is going to be determined on one other thing, and that is the goaltending. How far can Jari and how far can Smith get them into the playoffs? To me, they are not championship-caliber goalies. And as we've seen what happened here in the playoffs, I understand. Bad calls were made. We're talking about the helmet of the Penguin being knocked off and him leaving the ice. But at the end of the day, you cannot have the poor goaltending like what we have seen. You're up 3-1. They should have closed out the series. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. I honestly believe
it doesn't sound like you're a Jari fan at all. Is that a fair point?
Well, you know, it's not that I'm not a Jari fan. I want to see results. Okay, it's one thing. Listen, if I'm not seeing you get better as a player, then what am I going to use you for? I mean, if you really think about it, and I mean, Jari, listen, what they did with Jari yesterday, what they should have did was they should have put him in game six. If they didn't lost game six, okay, fine. But then you just put him in game seven and he hasn't played in how long?
Clinton, I think here's the problem with what you're saying there about the game six, because I've had that thought too.
So have I, actually.
Given how heavily, though.
Let him shake the rust off in game six.
But given how heavily the ankle was wrapped apparently after the game, I'm wondering if they thought, like, you know, we've got one game for this guy and then he's going to need another couple days
here. And then
here.
Domingue goes in against Carolina. That sounds awesome. Man.
If you think he has like one for sure game, and then maybe you have to go back
that's
to somebody else
for a game. That's
winning
the battle and definitely sacrificing the war.
Well, if you win the battle in game six, then you have extra time to get ready for the next war.
The series against Carolina would have started tomorrow.
Yeah, you got a couple days. I'm gonna shoot him up with some painkillers. I don't know.
Why didn't you do that for game six?
I mean, do we rule out the idea that with his injury, it honestly might have just been something that wasn't quite ready for six and was ready for seven?
That extra
couple of... So wait, 48 hours doesn't matter?
Well, but you're saying... Though,
Crosby didn't play game six, but he did play game seven. I don't hear anybody asking questions about whether they should have put him in game six.
Well, maybe if we take enough calls, we will hear somebody say that.
What's it with Clinton? Carol calls from Clinton. Clinton calls.
Actually, what was that guy's name? Clinton?
Was that Clinton?
Not Clinton, yeah. Like Bill. Or was it?
Yeah, Clinton.
Oh.
You act like you've never heard
no,
of a
Donnie did not spell it that way on the sheet he gave me. He spelled it C-L-E-N-T-I-N.
Clinton.
Okay, that's not Clinton.
Hmm.
Here's Jeff on the fan. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. It's been a rough couple of days in the From South Park household. This guy's having to catch Steve Mears on the last goal call in overtime, the pain in his voice. That pain manifesting itself on that goal call matched my exact emotions at the time. It couldn't even get me to make
Actually, we were watching on TBS.
Yeah, I was watching the local broadcast. But I want to talk about the goaltending, too, ironically. I knew it was going to be a lot to ask for Jari to step in for a Game 7. I was kind of hoping he would have been healthy enough for Game 6 to just dress as the backup. And maybe he comes in relief, and that would have been the way to introduce him into the series. But nevertheless, we got him in Game 7. He looked good to start. But he definitely wore down as the game went on. He was playing too deep in the net. And I'll be honest with you guys, to me,
yep,
last year's loss stung me a lot more. That team was better, slightly deeper, and certainly playing better at the time that the playoffs started. And that loss to the Islanders last year was truly 95% Jari's fault. I'm not sure I will ever forgive him for that. If he had led them on a run this year, sure, but, you know, that's out the window. Casey DeSmith's unavailability the last 2 years when we needed him the most should not go unnoticed either. But I'll go back even further. Matt Murray's failure to develop into a franchise goaltender is what set this team back years. It was a no-brainer to keep him over Fleury at the time, and I celebrated that move because, quite frankly, Fleury drove me insane a lot during his tenure here. But the fact that Murray couldn't become that long-term answer put us into goaltender hell.
I actually agree with that. I mean, that's very well put.
I don't disagree with a syllable of the Murray and beyond there. Hear, Jeff. So you know what? If that helped you in the... I liked how he said the From South Park household, which I thought was good. If that helped you, Jeff, therapeutically, I thought it was an A-plus call. Murray didn't. His development completely stagnated.
Well, that's because Murray is hockey's Joe Flacco. And then as soon as the guy stops coming through in big games, what are you left with? Like, his only calling card for me was performance in playoff games. That's what he hung his hat on. The second he stopped playing great in playoff games, you had an injury-prone, average, regular-season goaltender who also you started to question in the biggest moments.
Well,
that ain't good.
Here's what I didn't like. I think what made him great in the runs to the cups was he was quiet in net. Like, he was a calming influence. That's how I always felt.
He looked big in the net. He looked big in there.
He looked big in the net, and he was good positionally, which is the opposite of Fleury, who'd flop around out there. Here's the problem, to Jeff's point about his development. They found, like most goalies have found on them, get found on them by the rest of the league, they found a weak spot, high glove.
Mm.
And to never, like, come up with any kind of way to counteract what the league was doing to you, not a good sign.
One of our listeners texts in and says, why don't the Penguins just hire a 700-pound sumo wrestler to put in goal?
Is one of those texters' names you just coming up with that one? Because I have heard you bring that up a bunch of times. So you're saying, like, the late Yokozuna or Rikishi.
Were they so big that they would actually cover up the entire cage?
I don't think there's been a human being. So what's the cage? 4x6, right?
Yeah, do you think, like...
I don't think there's been a person who's 4x6.
Even, like, those people we see on TLC?
No, man.
That are, like, my 800-pound life?
They have to be wearing skates.
That's the rule?
You can't put them out there in their bare feet. They're going to freeze.
But just lay them sideways and put the skates on their feet.
So you just think if you...
Basically like Jabba the Hutt just in there.
So you, like, this is one of those things that everyone talks about when they're stoned.
There has to be a rule on the books that prevents
this from
teams
happening.
From doing that. And you know that some down-on-its-luck team like,
so they'd see like a
this.
They'd see like a Donnie football and be like, son, we're gonna put you on an all rice diet. We've got a we think you have a huge future in the world
there
of hockey.
There should be a Disney movie about how initially a guy gets hired as like a stunt to like be just like a
he's
800
as big as the
goal player that goes
but
in.
Where's
net.
The drama? It's just he keeps getting pucks,
but then like
fired at him and he never moves.
But then by the end of the movie, he actually develops skills and becomes a good goalie.
Like, at first, there's a game where he starts to skate out and challenge the shooter and cut down the angle, and they're all freaking out on him.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Creates real life magic for guests. Today is one of the best NHL beat writers of all time. His birthday. Rob Rossi, Penguins Insider, joins us right now. Happy birthday, Rob.
Thank you very much.
That's actually a high honor to be bestowed by Pony, because he has told me before he hates wishing dudes birthdays. Like, he hates celebrating. I don't know why. It's like a too much of a bro thing for you, Pony, or what?
I don't like sending happy birthday texts to people.
Just people in general, then?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I feel like usually it's a hollow message. If people just see it on Facebook and feel like they have to do it.
You don't even use Facebook, though, so people know that it would
be
you remembering.
Well, my wife sees it on Facebook and then makes me do it.
Fair enough.
She's the middleman.
All right.
But that was an authentic happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday, Rob.
I appreciate it. It's a birthday that I normally I'm not big on birthdays, but after the past several months, I think I'm gonna enjoy this one a little.
Here. All right, give me your takeaway on what we watched last night and what happened in this series, Rob.
Well, what happened in the series is Jacob Trouba hit Sidney Crosby in the head, and the NHL did nothing about it, and the Penguins lost their best player for a game, and that swung the series. I mean, it's really tough to look at it the other way. Also, I mean, for the third year in a row, the Penguins had the, you know, goaltender of record in the series, as far as I'm concerned, the guy that played the most games, play sub-900 save percentage hockey, and I just don't believe you can win playoff series when your goaltending is as bad as the Penguins have been the past 3 years. And I blame management for not having this franchise in a better situation for any occurrence of an injury to Jarry, because I questioned whether Casey DeSmith was a good enough option, but Louis Domingue certainly doesn't cut it. He would not be in the top 25 of number three goalies in the NHL. So that's fully on this management regime.
Who can they go after this offseason to fix that problem?
Well, I mean, their offseason's
got financial reason. Like, that's not even – I know what you're going to say, Rob. I don't mean to cut you off, but I assume that's way down the priority list too.
Yeah, but it didn't need to be way down the priority list last offseason was the point I was making. I mean, people talk a lot about the trade deadline, but really the chance to remake your team anymore is with trades in the offseason or with smart signings in the offseason. And I don't think that this management group had a great offseason last year. And I'm not sure they're going to get another one to make up for it. So, you know, I think the next 2 weeks in Penguins land are going to be very, very interesting. I'm expecting it to be very, very busy time for people like me.
So what are you hearing about Hextall then?
I don't hear that he's safe. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's gone, but I don't hear that he's safe, which I think, look, anytime an ownership group spends $900 million to buy a team, they're going to want their own people. And they've been conducting a very thorough review, as I've been told, of the entire organization. I don't expect Brian Burke to be back. I wouldn't be shocked if Ron Hextall isn't back. I think they want their own people in there. I don't necessarily know that that's fair to Hextall, but this isn't a very fair business.
Who are
the Penguins just learned.
Amen to that in a bad way, Rob, the Penguins learning that. Who are some of the Fenway Sports Group's people then, as far as GMs that might be on the radar if they are looking to replace Hextall?
Well, I think their first order of business would be to hire somebody to be the president of the hockey team. And I don't necessarily know that that person is going to come from the NHL. They're going to be very much going with analytical thinkers, people that believe in metrics, people that believe in numbers. From what I've been told, the conversations they've already had with people in the organization have all been about they want to build a franchise that from the very top excels with leadership and communication. And I don't think that that's something that is necessarily a strength of this management group. I don't think it was something that towards the end of the Rutherford era was a strength between him and David Morehouse. And usually when things start going a little bit the wrong way, that is the case. So I think in terms of names, I can't give you any. I wish I could.
Rob, you're talking about replacing. You're talking more about the Morehouse role than the Burke role, right? Just to be clear, when you say
no,
president.
No.
But you're Burke?
No. Yeah, I'm talking about the Burke role.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure people got that. Okay. Well, it sounded last night, Sidney Crosby, just reading between the lines, I thought I heard a guy who felt like he had played his last game with Letang and Malkin.
Yeah. I think that's what he feels like he has, and I think that's the smart money right now. I would not expect of getting Malkin, Chris Letang, or Brian Rust to be back. And certainly, of the three, I think Malkin is most likely because I think he's most likely to ultimately take more of a haircut, but he's not going to take the type of haircut they've already tried to give him.
What's that? Do we know what that is? Like a $5 million, something silly like that?
Yeah, him and Chris Letang were offered three-year contracts at $5 million AAV.
I mean, that sounds insulting to me. Sounds like an insult, Rob.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you want those players back. And look, there's a lot of people in the Penguins media sphere that don't share the opinion that I have that I don't think this is sitting well with Sidney Crosby. Those are not guesses on my part. And I think people that think that the way this is going to be handled isn't going to eventually have ramifications for Sidney Crosby's time in Pittsburgh. I think this is very important that they get these exits right. But I also think Sidney Crosby wants Evgeny Malkin back. I think he wants Evgeny Malkin back badly. I think he wants them all back, but Evgeny specifically. And this might have to be a decision that clashes with whoever is the GM and what they want to do. But Sidney Crosby is still one of the five best hockey players in the world, as he proved in this series. And this franchise can't afford to lose him. So I don't know what that means for Malkin or any of them. But I think how this is handled, this has to be handled the right way because Sidney Crosby is very much paying attention.
How much juice is he going to have in this situation, in this process then? Like if they need to be mindful of what he is, you know, watching and how he's reacting to it, how much of a say will he have, Rob?
Well, as much as he wants. I mean, he hasn't been a person that very often has wanted to be that type of captain, the give me what I want. But, you know, he did famously a few years ago say to Jim Rutherford, it's Gino and me. I know he still feels that way. How much juice does he have? He had passed the concussion test and wanted to play in game six and was told no by the general manager. So I'm not so sure how much juice he has with this management group.
Hextall told him he wasn't allowed to play in game six?
Yeah, the Penguins told him he wasn't allowed to play in Game 6. He had passed the test from what I've been told.
Was it and what you were told, Rob, is it was specifically Hextall who said no to this, correct?
Well, that would be the general manager. I mean, that would be the general manager that make that case. I mean, the doctors would tell the GM, and the GM would make that case. I'm not saying that it was like a Ron Hextall only decision, but I think it speaks to a little bit of a disconnect between the captain and this management group. And look, maybe that's not a bad thing at times to have that sort of separation of church and state. But I know if I paid $900 million for a hockey team that had Sidney Crosby, I'd want to keep Sidney Crosby happy.
And correct me if
that would just be me.
Correct me if I'm wrong on the concussion thing, because that is eye-opening. One thing I have thought about him since he suffered the first one that derailed so much of his prime there, Rob, is that say anything else about it, Crosby was always going to be very careful given his own personal history. So if he passed the tests and wanted to play, it kind of – that's shocking to me that they would tell him
no.
Yeah,
they wouldn't, like, know that he trusts.
Right.
Well, I mean, to look at it the other way, though, if he goes out there and gets another concussion, gets hit again and gets another concussion, then you're the management group to let him get another concussion. So I don't necessarily think erring on the side of caution is something that other people wouldn't have done in that position. I get where the Penguins were coming from. But, again, it's my understanding that he had passed the concussion protocol and did not have a concussion the day of Game 6 and wanted to play and was told he couldn't.
Where's Mike Sullivan in all of this? You said before the series started, Rob, that there was they had this respect for him. He was untouchable. They felt like he, was pushing all the right buttons, great coach, etc. That's still true?
Yes, as far as I know, yes. And I don't think anything that you saw in this series should give you reason to doubt Mike Sullivan. I mean, he got to a Game 7 with a barely AHL goalie playing 5 of the 7 games.
Well, how about the helmet rule stuff that Mulsey brought up? Like, the rule says you can pick up the helmet and put it back on and keep playing, but he said that that's not true.
And the rule book disagrees with him.
So you want him fired over that?
No, we don't want him fired at all.
I would think that would be, for a guy that I think is very good, that's an odd and sizable oversight, I guess.
I think what he was I'm guessing what he was getting at is, and maybe he didn't express this, is that the rule says one thing, but the likelihood of a player continuing to play without a helmet is very low.
So basically what the rule book says and what actually happens in the NHL aren't two one and the same thing.
Shockingly.
Me down. Fetch me my fainting couch, Donnie, because I am in a bad way here.
Rob, one of the things that has come up a lot today is what the NHL wants out of its product. And Tyler Kennedy came on and he said, what would you expect from a league that, as George Perreault says, the head of player safety? Yeah. And, okay, you said yes, but like, who puts George Perreault in that position? Who wants him? The owners?
Colin Campbell.
Okay.
And what
would
you say about a league that has Colin? Colin Campbell is the type of person that goes up to the media and accosts them whenever he gets a chance for even mentioning headshots. He doesn't even think they should be mentioned.
But who gives him
power?
They
have this guy.
Where does he get it from?
Gary Bettman and the other governors. I mean, that's, look, the general managers run this league, and, Gary Bettman and the governors give the GMs basically a blank slate to sign off on everything that the GMs want.
And the owners don't run it like they do in every other league where you see star players protected.
Well, then why wouldn't the owners replace these
nincompoops? And that's why the NHL is seventh amongst the leagues in terms of popularity. I mean, that's why, look, the NHL will tell you about these great ratings. The Pittsburgh-New York series had great ratings, averaged over 1 million viewers. Everybody else didn't. And you don't have to watch too many of these playoff games to see guys getting, eliminated from series because of hits that we don't want in the game, most of us.
Well, no, we the people who have the power, Rob, they love it, it seems.
They do. Because they don't, they have a very myopic view. Their view, the general manager's views has always been whatever can keep us employed. It doesn't make sense to have general managers make rules. It doesn't. You should have the.
Because it's always going to be conservative, right? I mean, it's always going to be very. Right. Yeah,
this is eye opening.
Progress will always be incremental if, you know, extant at all.
Right. Well, why? Look at the NFL. The NFL has a coaching committee that makes its rules, right?
Yeah, they have the competition committee.
Owners, but,
yeah, and there's owners that make everybody's there's coaches in it. There's GMs. There's
okay,
right.
Coaches don't really have a say in the rules in this league. Owners don't really have a say. Governors don't really have a say. It's all the general managers. It's people like Lou Lamoriello, and people won't stand up to people like Lou Lamoriello.
Wow,
it's just wild, Rob. It is wild to hear you say that, and I believe it. Owners are usually, even in the NHL where the franchises are valued at less, they're very wealthy people who are not used to be, you know, being told no.
I agree.
So the idea that these GMs are just puffing their chests out and getting their way is just wild to try to comprehend.
I think as we get more owners like the Fenway Sports Group, this is likely to lead to some contentious points. Because they
it means
are
the
not...
death of old-time hockey. I'm all for it.
Eddie Shore stuff.
Yeah, well, look, old-time hockey is romanticized because of a movie. I mean, nobody thought that what the Flyers were doing in the 70s were good for the game. Nobody thought what the Devils were doing in the 90s was good for the game. You know, this notion that you've got to keep everything physical, it's got to be a man's game, you've got to be tough, you've got to fight through things, that you can have inconsistent officiating, all these things that we take just as commonplace in this sport, it hurts the overall product. Frankly, they're lucky that the thirst for sports programming in this country is so unquenchable that major networks like ESPN and, you know, TNT, Turner, you know, their networks want the NHL. But they're... You can't look at the product, even with an uptick in scoring this year, and look at what the product is in the Stanley Cup playoffs and say that it's the best product, because it's not.
Rob, how are you choosing to celebrate your birthday? What kind of dessert are you going with tonight? What cake will be served?
I don't know if I'll go for a dessert, to be perfectly honest. I'm not always a big dessert guy.
Not a cake guy on your birthday. Not even gonna.
I was a blueberry pie guy on my birthday.
Mm. Yeah, well, that sounds like a mistake too. But I don't know. There's this one pie at this place called the Pie Place that I've been wanting to get.
What a creative name!
Butterscotch cream pie, but I don't know if I'm getting that. So probably nothing.
Oh. Rob Rossi, everyone. Rob, thank you so much, and again, happy birthday.
You're welcome. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Blueberry pie.
Tis better to give than to receive, and that is the spirit of Rob's
interview.
That
was Rob Rossi, 456. Good time for an insurance checkup by the Buell Insurance Agency. And Rob definitely was coming clean and in great detail, brought to you by WECO.
Pony.
Holy cow.
I mean, he makes a good point. Dunlap texted me this. I saw him, happened to see him tweet it during the show, and he's right. It's not, you know, it's not like George Parros, right? Because Brendan Shanahan was in that seat before him. How many goals did he score? He was a great player, was he not?
Power
like
forward,
but a high-end player. Yeah. He wasn't a George Parros. He wasn't a bum or a goon. And he did anything really happen differently?
I mean, just, I'm floored by so many aspects of that interview. The fact that the Penguins lowballed Letang and Malkin the way that they did.
The fact that they told Crosby, you're not playing in Game 6, and he wanted, listen, I would have said, my gut would have told me Crosby was going to be hyper-cautious with this. So the idea that he passed a test, we had seen other reports, right, Pony, that he never had a concussion, period.
Yeah, Frank Saravalli said that.
Right.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.